My catchphrase is AI is not replacing teachers. It's replacing worksheets. It's replacing grading. It's replacing all the parts of teaching that, like, if you ask a teacher, any teacher, why do you love your job? Why did you become a teacher? I'll tell you what they're not going to say. Grading, lesson planning, compliance paperwork, making sure my grade book is up to date, right? All of those things that are so easily done with technology.
Hey, y'all. This is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey guys, welcome back to Y'allitics. This is the first episode, I think, ever we've had our coats on.
That what?
We've had our jackets on.
I've got a sweater on. Yeah, it's chilly.
Like an East German assassin from the Stasi days.
Yeah, so look here. Out.
Yeah, exactly.
You look like you could be... Well, no, I'm not going to get into it.
Go ahead.
You wearing anything under that coat? I sure hope so. I don't know what would be more dangerous, that or an assassin.
And Wheeler hasn't started drinking yet either.
I have not had a sip.
This is a hell of an episode to watch right here. So I ordered the beers today. I always get the necessary evil here, the Pilsner, which I might order again here in a moment. But I got the Red Gate today, the Amber Lager.
Mm-hmm.
And I got you a Quaker State. So taste yours.
Quaker State, I love it.
Yours is,
it does look like motor oil. This is a super dark beer right here.
It's a bold beer. Plutonium 239, coconut porter.
Oh, that's good.
Mm. Yeah,
you can definitely pick up the coconut in it, too.
We're back, obviously, at our favorite place,
that's
Manhattan
excellent.
Project Beer Company in West Dallas.
Yeah.
West Dallas. So.
And today we have a guest with us who drove a long way out of her way to be here with us in West Dallas.
Right. Not from Phoenix.
No, but
from Fort Worth.
You might as well be from Phoenix.
It's a
long drive.
It's a long drive.
Sam DiPaolo is the lead guy.
Lead guide.
What is it?
Did you say lead guy?
Yeah.
She is not a guy.
All right,
she is
two.
The lead guide.
The lead guide. I know. I was like, that's a strange name. That's a strange title.
Yeah.
That would have been a really odd title.
Both are strange, but that is extremely odd.
I don't know why you would have come. I don't know why you would have come here for this job if you were called the lead guy.
The lead guy.
I asked that. I'm like, the lead guy. That's
no,
weird.
No, you got us mixed up. I'm the lead guy here of the podcast, and she's the lead guide.
She's the lead guide of the Alpha School
of Alpha School in Fort Worth.
Yes. So, Sam, welcome.
Thank you.
And you have a very exotic
cheers.
Beer. Cheers. To you. What do you have?
Cheers.
Do you remember what it's called?
I don't remember exactly what it's called. I know it's a Goza.
Goza, okay.
It is the Bikini Atoll Pink Lemonade Nitro.
Interesting. Wow. I like that. Wow.
He's upping the stakes on us.
This like will be an interesting
beer.
One.
Yeah.
Wow. So, the Alpha School, let's lay out what the Alpha School is. You guys have been around for a minute, but it really took off this summer. I think people really started finding out more about you guys.
Yeah, there's a lot of traction.
Explain what the Alpha School is, because people might have seen the headlines. It's really AI heavy.
Right.
What do you guys do that's different from my kids' school?
There is a lot of clickbait out there, a lot of misconceptions that we are a robot teacher, like futuristic bad sci-fi movie of a school, but that's not the case at all.
It's not what's happening.
No.
Okay.
I actually was talking to a lady a couple weeks ago, and she visited the school, and she's like, where are the robot teachers?
Are you serious?
For real.
That's the episode title right
wow.
there.
Yeah, where are the robot teachers? We can dispel that misconception right out the gate. No, Alpha School is leveraging the advent of AI, which is probably the biggest inflection point in our lifetimes, to make the science of learning accessible to all students, not just the smartest kids in the class or the kids that need the most help, or even just like the middle of the pack students. It's for everybody.
But well, what do you mean leveraging AI? Because the model here is completely different from public or private schools.
Yes.
This is revolutionary.
Very revolutionary. It is the future of education. Essentially what we do at Alpha is we condense our learning into 2 hours in the morning.
That's the basics, right?
The basics. But kids are getting all of their academics in and absolutely crushing it in those 2 hours. In 2 hours. Through the AI tutor. Science of learning, research in terms of teaching and learning, doesn't disagree. It's all the same. That one-to-one individualized model is what works.
You said the AI tutor, are there real teachers, or is the computer teaching them?
So it's kind of a mix. The computer, the AI, is delivering that individualized, and I mean truly individualized, instruction for kids. It is crunching the data. It is like tracking their eye movements to make sure that they're staying focused. It is feeding them questions that are specific to their interests and getting their learning done so much quicker, so much more efficiently than a human being ever could. And I'm saying that as a career teacher. I've been a teacher for almost 15 years.
So everybody in the classroom is going at a different pace. Everybody's on sort of their own learning schedule.
Exactly, which is how it should be. What we've seen over the past, longer than the past few years, but especially in the past few years, is that kids in each classroom, they may be grouped by age, but they're in wildly different grade levels and levels of mastery in the specific subject matters. I mean, we're talking like 7 grade levels apart.
In one class?
In one classroom.
Huh. Same age?
Correct.
Wow.
7 yes. grade levels apart?
Yes. In what? Recent years, they're, yes.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. And as teachers have known this for years, especially since the pandemic, we've seen the gaps get wider and wider and wider. And we're just, in my opinion, I felt like I was on a sinking ship. Like, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to help these kids? It's like a losing battle when it's that drastic of a difference. My largest class I ever taught was 47 students.
Wow.
And these kids were all at different levels.
All different
and so
levels.
You're juggling all of these different needs as one teacher.
In addition to IEPs, right? Students who learn differently, ADHD, students who are English language learners perhaps, all in one classroom, how can you meet all of their needs? That's why, going back to Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, it really should be a one-on-one learning model. It's just not feasible in today's day and age. Education, or the educational system as we know it today, was really shaped by the Industrial Revolution, where we're trying to create efficient environments for managing large groups of people, and ultimately the outcome there, you're hoping for is compliant workers who can follow instructions of a foreman, i.e. a teacher at the front of the class, sitting in rows, the bell rings and they move to a different task. It's wild to me that we haven't already revolutionized education. It's just such an archaic model based on the needs of our current world and just the world we're living in. Students don't need to follow instructions. They need to think critically and solve problems.
So if computers are helping the individual students, then you have what you call guides.
Yes.
And that would make you the lead guide.
Guide.
with a D
the school.
E.
Yes, with a D and an E. And they sort of help, facilitate things. How many students do you have there?
So we always start our schools off with 25 founding families.
Okay.
And then we've had a ton of interest from there. A lot for next year, some for already starting in January, or trying to get in. But parents want this type of education. They want their kids to get their learning, their academics done at their level and crush it in the morning to free up more time for life skills, which is a huge benefit of the Alpha model. The entire afternoon is devoted to teaching kids life skills.
Like what?
Yeah, explain that, because I want my kids to get off the screens, and, and you're talking about putting kids on screens for life skills. What are they?
Now, just to clarify, the two-hour learning is the only part of the day that's on screens. A recent study came out that showed the average sixth grader in America spends 2 hours and 53 minutes a day on screens at school. In my experience as a principal and as a teacher, it's a lot more than that, and it's just getting more and more. There's more screen time as you get older and older. High schoolers are taking notes, and then they go home and do homework for hours on end. They're constantly on screen. So just to clarify, the two-hour learning portion, the academic, the AI tutor, that's the only time they're on screens. The rest of the day is freed up to like live in the real world. So for instance, I hear this all the time. What is something that you wish you would have learned in school but was never taught to you? a lot of answers.
Stock trading, things like that. Yeah.
Okay, so actually, to that exact point, stock trading, really? I'm running a workshop right now. It's a year-long workshop called Million Dollar Mondays. And what we do every Monday is I have a software where the kids, it's actually for graduate students, but I'm doing it with fourth and fifth graders, where they're learning how to invest. They're trading stock. It's a simulation, but they're trading actual stocks.
Are they picking it up?
Yeah, absolutely.
At fourth and fifth grade.
Kids are limitless, guys. We don't give kids enough credit. We have put them in this system for so long where they're told to sit down and raise your hand if you have to use the restroom, which is still wild to me. We're not building independent children. Once you free them to be independent, to have agency, the sky is truly the limit of what they can do. Any of my fourth graders could tell you what a CD is, what their goal, their test to pass the workshop at the end of the year is to beat the S&P 500.
Wow.
So they can explain to you what an index fund is and why their portfolio is going to be better than it.
Life skill.
Yes, exactly.
These are things that
you don't get taught in a traditional classroom.
And they're not on screens for that, though.
No. I mean, a little bit, just depending on the workshop, but the focus is not the screen at all. I'll give you another example. Our kindergartners are running a workshop right now where we're teaching them how to ride bikes, but it's not just, the end of the workshop is, okay, now you can ride a bike. We always have those really high standards for kids. So the five-year-olds have to ride 5 miles without stopping and without complaining.
Oh, wow.
How's that working out?
It's actually great. Yeah, the kids are doing it.
Huh. So that's a life skill.
That's a life
that you'll use for the rest of your life.
Great, yeah.
So Sam, you have a public school background, for America, I believe, and you're from, did you teach in Phoenix? Is that where you taught?
Yeah, so I started my education career as a Fulbright scholar. Mm. So I taught in rural schools in central Mexico.
Oh, nice.
Schools that had almost no resources, truly almost nothing. Mm-hmm. From there, I came back to the States and taught in massive public schools, Title I schools. Like I mentioned, the biggest class I ever had was 47 kids, all different levels. Mm. And then I also have some experience in the high-end private school world as well. But what's fascinating and strange is that across all of these environments, apart from facilities, the structure is identical. Mm. You see the same exact thing everywhere, which is outdated.
When did you first use AI and how do you use it today outside of work?
It's a great question. I remember so vividly when ChatGPT came out and all the kids at school, I was a principal at the time of a high school, and all the kids were mumbling and there was rumblings about, oh, this new, AI. And I got on there and my first thought was, oh no, this is not good for education. This is going to change everything. Because as much as we'd like to believe, and I do largely believe, I'm optimistic, but as much as we'd like to believe that kids, are going to, stick it out and never take the easiest route or the path of least resistance. I mean, it's just such low-hanging fruit to plug your homework into
human
AI
nature
and get the answers, right? Because they want that free time to do other things. But what I really appreciate about what Alpha is doing is, we recognize AI, and teachers everywhere recognize AI is transforming the world of education, whether we like it or not, for the better or for the worse. Mm-hmm. Alpha School has taken the reins of that and said, okay, we're going to go ahead and make sure that it's for the better. We're going to use AI as an individualized education machine. And then the rest of the day is going to be getting kids back outside, getting them their recess. Do you know the average kid in America right now? Guess how much their average recess time is.
I'm going to guess
20 or 30 minutes.
Oh, no, it's less than that.
Is it?
Yeah, 15?
I think it's 22 minutes.
Oh, really?
Something that was the last statistic I heard.
Wow, we were wrong on that. Yeah. That's interesting.
Shocking.
That is shocking. Research shows that free play, outdoor time, these are the things that build your executive functions, your frontal lobe functions.
Right.
Is this, sorry to interrupt there,
not
Sam,
at all.
But it sounds similar to to project-based learning.
Yeah,
similar. Is it similar to that, but more AI involved or what?
It's more robust, I would say, more targeted, also higher standards. I've done a lot of project-based learning in my career. I've overseen a lot of project-based learning in my career. And, there's many different ways you can go about it, but ultimately it's okay, all you 30 kids, you're going to do this thing, and it's based on this standard, and now everybody give me the same output. Mm-hmm. That's your project, right? This is so much more in-depth, so much more real life, more connected to the real world and the things that actually matter nowadays.
You said the H word a couple of times here, so I just have to ask, what is homework like?
Zero.
Zero homework.
Zero homework.
Wow. Well, okay, now that's different.
Yeah.
I mean, homework has exploded in recent years.
True. Absolutely true. Depending on your age level, your grade level, I mean, kids are coming home with hours of homework. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason for that is this one-size-fits-all model where, okay, a teacher, I can't liken it to, you know, shooting arrows into a crowd, like seeing where it's, what sticks where. And a lot of the times, it doesn't stick for a lot of kids. So then the hope is, okay, if I give homework, maybe I can individualize it a little bit more. Maybe I can, they can get better practice or get what they need through that. But you're just adding on more and more hours that you don't really need.
So now people are interested in the Alpha School here. So is this kindergarten through 12th grade?
So right now in Fort Worth, it's kindergarten through 8th grade.
Okay.
But once our 8th grader becomes
Don't
a 9th grader,
up.
Yeah, it'll be
okay.
K-9 and then so on. Well,
then how do you grade then? If everyone's operating at a different level and you're teaching little Jason to ride a bike here, I mean, how do you grade these things?
Great question. So for academics, if you thought no homework was crazy, try no grades. It's a fully mastery-based model. So being the academic nerd that I am and knowing a lot about the science of learning, once again, the research does not disagree. It's the one-on-one model and it's a mastery-based model. So you need to master the skills of first grade before you can go on to second grade and so on and so forth. Otherwise, and what you see so frequently with students is that there's holes in their education. So to give you an example, we had a high schooler last year who was studying for the SATs and her math score just wasn't where she wanted it to be. So introduce the AI tutor, let's have you take some practice tests. And it was able to much more efficiently and accurately than a human pinpoint, oh, you haven't fully mastered exponents. Come to find, oh, well, she switched schools in sixth grade and they had covered exponents before she switched schools. So she just kind of missed it and filled it in the gaps as best she could along the way. Well, then we gave her really targeted exponents lessons. Boom, her math score went completely up. That's the sort of magic that you can create with
and what you're saying
like
too is that an individual teacher who's juggling, you know, dozens of other kids in a classroom may not have the time to sit and pinpoint that and figure it out and you know,
it's
sort of
so
tailor a lesson plan for that one student.
It's so hard because everything kind of has to be standard, right? When you're dealing with 30 plus kids at a time, you can't give, okay, this is your worksheet and I'm going to grade it and I'm going to analyze exactly, oh, it looks like there's a pattern here. Okay, now here's your worksheet and times that by 30, 35, or in my case, 47. It's just not feasible. I mean, it's hard enough just to get your grading done as a teacher, let alone dig deeper and then individualize. It's impossible for humans to do.
It is a tough job, and we have so many people who have just dedicated themselves to this, you know, as their life's work. So there's this question, does AI and do AI schools put those teachers out of work eventually?
Absolutely not. My catchphrase is AI is not replacing teachers. It's replacing worksheets. It's replacing grading. It's replacing all the parts of teaching that, like if you ask a teacher, any teacher, why do you love your job? Why did you become a teacher? I'll tell you what they're not gonna say. Grading, lesson planning, compliance paperwork, making sure my gradebook is up to date, right? All of those things that are so easily done with technology, right? The core of teaching, why teachers are such heroes, is because they're able to coach, guide, mentor. That's why we're called guides, by the way, because it's just shifting the role of the teacher back to that human element.
But do you need as many of those humans as you would in a typical school? Let's say if you know, expanded your enrollment and grew from the 25 to 1,000. Would you need the same number of teachers or guides who are teachers as a traditional school with 1,000 students?
I would argue you'd need more, right? In this model with, you know, the industrial revolution model, so to speak, you can sit in front of 30 kids as one teacher and say, all right, here's the lesson. Hope you get it moving along no matter what. With the Alpha model, it is about forming those bonds, those relationships, figuring out like, what are you passionate about? What really fires you up? And figuring out ways to create experiences for these kids, workshops for these kids, where they can explore those things. Entrepreneurship is huge at our school. In Austin, our kids, our third and fourth graders, I believe, ran an Airbnb and made a profit of several thousand dollars.
A real Airbnb or a simulated Airbnb?
Airbnb.
Really?
these are the sorts of experiences that we're curating for these students, along with that mentorship, that guidance that we're providing, the human element. So you can't necessarily achieve that very well with 35 kids. The numbers would have to be smaller.
So this is not just, this is a private school, so there's tuition involved,
there's
right?
There's tuition, yes.
And this is not just for rich kids, though, because there's even a school open in the Rio Grande Valley in Brownsville, right?
Exactly, yeah. So there's various models of the school. The tuition can range anywhere from, I think, like $20,000, and in some, like New York City, I believe it's around $75,000. But it just kind of depends on, like I said, what these workshops are. We're able to curate these incredible experiences for kids that are teaching them real life skills, and it's not cheap. Also, our guides make a very livable wage.
So there'll be people, though, who'll hear the low end of that, and they'll go, $20,000 a year, that's a lot of money to me.
There's school vouchers now, by the way.
Yeah, which will cover, what, $10,000 of that?
Yeah, half of it.
So the curiosity then, and I guess you've probably seen this question come up, will this include, or will this widen that gulf between the haves and the have-nots? You know, will education be sort of a have and a have-not, depending on what your resources are?
I think the goal of Alpha School is not to be prohibitively expensive in this really, you know, niche high-end experience that only the haves can afford. It's to put this technology in the hands of every child. Every child is deserving of this individualized learning, the mastery-based education, the one-on-one tutor, getting your academics done quickly so that you have the rest of your day to learn real-life skills. That's always the goal, is to make this accessible.
Okay, but right now you have the luxury, too, of being able to choose your students. I mean, you've got, you know, maybe people, you know, in a line out the door, and you can select who you take in and who you don't. Does the model apply if I take the same thing into a traditional, let's say, public school and plop it down and go, okay, everybody get on your computers. You're going to be on here for 2 hours. It's going to walk you through some things. Does this model apply to, you know, just the general population of kids?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't. It's individualized learning, right? There's nothing secret or inaccessible about it. The whole idea is to be more accessible, to make that science of learning, that what we know is correct, what we know works, available to every single student. So if you look at a public school classroom and you see the kids who, you know, maybe have dyslexia or maybe have ADHD or are, you know, typical learners, but maybe math just isn't their thing, right? Like, they're getting kind of lost. We say they fall through the cracks. So bringing this sort of revolutionized model, this new structure of education, solves a lot of those problems.
You saw it from day one, though, when you first got onto ChatGPT and you were like, this is going to change education.
Here
we are, it's changing education.
It is.
What do you foresee? I mean, I almost hate asking people to pull out a crystal ball in these times because we just don't know.
Yeah.
What do you foresee, you know, 5-10 years down the road? Will we still have public school systems, and what will those look like if we do?
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's a human right, to have free public education. I don't think that's ever going to go away. I think it's just a matter of rethinking, reimagining how we go about it. Alpha School, the reason I was so sold from the minute I learned about it, is the first school I've seen in this country, in other, you know, in the world, in my career, that is not just trying to patch the holes of a broken system, but completely just reimagine how we go about it.
And you started in the summer, right? So this is your first semester. Here we are at the end of the first semester. How did it go?
Couple things. First, I have to mention our kids are performing in the top 1% in the country, and that is standard of Alpha Schools
How do you grade
model.
That, though? I mean, is it apples to apples?
We use the same standardized testing, NWEA MAP testing, that is kind of the gold standard across the country that most private and public schools use. One difference, though, is our data is very transparent. Most private schools don't publish their data.
Yeah,
or, you know, you might, as a parent, get like, here's the overview, the one pager with the graph.
The executive summary, right?
Right. We give the parents the full 16-page report and say, okay, here's the holes in their learning and here's what we're going to do to address it. So our kids do very well academically for that reason. Another thing I have to point out, and this is another cornerstone of the Alpha School model, is that kids have to love school. They should love school. Mm-hmm. They spend 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, for 13 years of their lives sitting in school. And, you know, it shouldn't just be this thing you have to get through. And I feel like more and more that's the case.
Kids and do the kids love it?
So the kids, 100% of our kids say they love school, but that's not a painfully insightful metric enough for us. So we asked them, would you rather go to school or go on vacation? In Fort Worth, 90% of our students would rather go to school than go on vacation.
They'd rather be in class than on vacation.
That's right. This happens when you give students agency, purpose, a feeling of pride, self-confidence, real projects to work on, real things to strive for. Like that 5 mile bike ride, those kids are like, I gotta get back on the bike. I gotta make my goal. And it just produces this sense of self, the sense of agency that is unlike anything I've seen before.
So performing in the top 1% in the country, and just to go back to the point, you're confident that if we pulled in 50 students randomly from whatever schools and you had, you know, a semester or a year with them in the program, that they would be able to perform at that level too if we just randomly picked them?
I'm confident that that is the case. Again, coming as a career-long teacher, I've never seen anything like this. It doesn't exist. This is the future of education.
Now, some teachers would go, I don't want to hear about this. I don't want to look at this. I don't want to see this. This feels threatening.
Yes.
There was a point when you were a teacher and you said you were ready to give up on education.
It's true.
And then what happened?
Well, I found this model and had to get on board. I mean, I am
You weren't
one of those
who said, oh, no, I don't want to hear anything about that. That sounds threatening.
No, and to be honest with you, I have lost friends over taking this job.
Have you really?
Absolutely. Some friends in traditional education are so against this that they don't want anything to do with it. They don't want to hear about it at all, to your point.
And why are they against it? Does it feel like it's an existential threat to their career, or
perhaps,
or it's replacing them, or that sort of thing?
But again, I think it's born out of misconception of what it truly is. Like I said, ask any teacher in the world, why are you a teacher? What do you love about your job? And they will say it's the kids, it's that human element. And what the AI is doing is freeing teachers up to focus on that human element.
And how many students do you have, 25?
25 founding families for Alpha.
And how many teachers do you have?
Right now, there are 4 of us.
Okay, so.
Pretty good ratio.
And you said you've lost friends over this, but what was it about it that really attracted you to this? That you sought this out, because you've been everywhere teaching, from Mexico to private schools to very busy public schools.
Well, like I said, when you've been in, you know, the most underserved schools in the world and some of the most well-served schools with all the resources in the world, and really not a lot is different outside of physical surround, like buildings, it's alarming, isn't it? It's just, it's always been in the back of my mind, like, this is the system that we're in, so make the best of it. Be the best teacher you can be. But ultimately, shouldn't this change? And Alpha School is the first school I've seen that is just, it's not trying to shoehorn into the educational system and fix the problems therein. It's just saying, wait a second. We have so much better technology. We are at, like I said, the greatest inflection point of our lives. With this progress that's being made in these fields, like, why not utilize that? When the microscope was invented, it revolutionized the field of biology. Why shouldn't AI revolutionize how we treat learning in the world?
We turned down a left street a moment ago, but we were talking about the end of the semester.
Yeah.
And kind of what you've noticed after one semester in this. What are the takeaways?
Man, these kids have developed so much confidence. It is unbelievable.
And they're all from public schools, private schools, everywhere?
All over, homeschool, all over, so different backgrounds, yeah.
And they've learned a lot, or what?
They've learned a lot. So I had one young lady come to us, and she was very not on grade level with reading. And in the past couple of months, I mean, it took a matter of weeks, she's reading fluently and very close to being back on track at her grade levels. That's a matter of multiple grade levels of progress in such a short amount of time.
Did AI do that, or what?
I mean, the capabilities of AI to really look at the data, look at where the holes are, pinpoint it, create ways and lessons to address those holes, fill the holes, and then move them on is, outrageous. It's incredible to witness.
What happens with, you mentioned, I think, ADHD earlier. What happens with a student who's special needs? How do they fit into this kind of a program?
Yeah, so we don't want to do anything outside the scope of the practice, right? So if you think about the bell curve, we're looking at the majority of that curve, so to speak. But that being said, everybody is so kind of on an individualized education plan, right? They're getting exactly what they need. So my background is largely in the realm of dyslexia and the science of reading, dyslexic learners. And what I'm seeing, like I said, is they're able to kind of figure out where those holes are, fill them and patch, you know, move the kids on much quicker than a human teacher can. Now, that being said, we do have also a reading specialist on our campuses. So there's that extra support as well, especially for the younger kids. They're getting that hands-on, you know, recognizing letters, doing handwriting. The important stuff is also happening.
And are you using, like, your own software for AI, or are you guys hopping on a ChatGPT and Perplexity and those places like the rest of us?
Most of the apps, the learning apps, are proprietary.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So this is not just kids sitting in front of ChatGPT for 2 hours.
No. In fact, we are very much against the, like, chat bot model of education. That's not it at all.
So I've heard rumblings that, you know, this is kind of starting to, this software is kind of starting to be, I guess, pushed out or made available to some school systems, like public school systems. Where are we on that from what you know?
I mean, that's a great question, probably for someone not in my position, to be honest with you. Don't want to speak outside of my own knowledge, but it would be great if these apps and this model of learning was more accessible, especially in the public school.
And there are probably some parents listening to this too, and tell us what kind of reaction you've had from parents whose children are brand new to this.
It's been incredible. The biggest thing really is the confidence. Kids, I mean, when we say your five-year-old's gonna not only learn how to ride a bike, but do it for 5 miles without stopping or complaining, they're like, yeah, right.
Yeah, show me that when it happens.
Sure, not possible. They do it.
Yeah. Have you had anyone unenroll at Fort Worth?
No,
everyone stayed?
Yeah. In fact, to the point of wanting school over vacation, we just had our Thanksgiving break, and on the way out, one of our students was like clinging to the door, "I'm gonna be school sick."
Wow.
Instead of homesick. I know.
That's interesting.
Nobody's unenrolling.
Have you ever experienced that in your career?
No, and yeah. I've worked at schools that are absolutely incredible where kids also love school, but this is just, it's something different. I think it comes from that sense of purpose, passion we're building in students and giving them so much independence, so much agency that they feel like they're truly accomplishing something beyond just, I got an A.
Right. You know? So right now you all are in Houston, Austin, Dallas area, down in the Valley, San Antonio as well, or?
Not San Antonio, Brownsville.
Okay.
Bastrop, there's a school.
Okay, just outside of Austin. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're teaching a sliver of students here in Texas, and I'm just curious what the learnings are as you all are, I'm assuming, trying to scale this up. Are there learnings there when you think about taking it bigger?
I mean, I think the sky is the limit, to be honest with
you. So are you ready for the company to come to you next year and go, hey, you got 25 students now, we're going to bump that up to 250?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I welcome it 100%. I mean, that's the hope, actually, is that it will continue to grow. It's such a phenomenal model. I hope it gets in the hands of more kids.
Sam, last thing I can think of is AI is still brand new for a couple old guys like us. Is it too early to be doing this? Because AI is going to be, you know, vastly different in 5 or 10 years than it is today.
I love that question. And my answer is, it's really about taking those reins. You know, like, if you think about the kids in schools right now who are plugging their homework assignments into ChatGPT, spitting out an answer, and they're just widening that grade level gap, right? They're getting more and more and more and more behind. It's not too early to go, whoa, let's not use ChatGPT quite in that manner. Let's see if we can make this more productive and still a tool for efficiency, but not a tool for laziness.
My last one for you is we'll wade into school vouchers here. Whiteley mentioned that several minutes ago. That was a big contentious thing here in Texas. It still is, you know, depending on who you ask. Some people not big fans of it. Other people have waited years for this. How big of a deal is the voucher system for this model and growing this model?
I mean, it's definitely going to make it more affordable for a lot of families. If there's a family that wants their child in this new way of learning to get their life skills in during the school day, to have these incredible experiences, to crush their academics so quickly in the morning, to love school, to wake up in the morning and be excited to go to school, I do think that the voucher system will provide more opportunity for those families to enroll.
So the Alpha School will take vouchers?
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
Sam, thanks so much for walking us through this and talking about even the personal stuff that, you know, the losing friends over the years. I mean, it's a rough thing, but, you know, change is hard, and I could see how that would happen.
When you're revolutionizing an entire, you know, not just a sector and industry, but people experience for the entire first, you know, 18 years of their life, and you're completely reimagining it, I don't think there's any way that you're not going to have some people who are skeptical. But like I said, I do think that's born of misconceptions about what this is, because it truly is great, and it is the future of education.
Sounds like it. Sam DiPaolo is the lead guide.
Guide.
The Alpha School in Fort Worth.
There has been some teaching.
You have a story to take back down to Fort Worth.
No, I don't think I will. They'll probably call me that forever.
These two idiots in Dallas were calling me the lead guide.
No, not the two idiots.
This podcast,
not plural.
Sam, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate you making the drive.
Yeah, thank you.
And
thanks,
we have proven in this one podcast that anyone can be taught.
We now know why education is so important. Perhaps hearing aids too. Sam, thank you.
Thanks. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Yeah. That was good.